Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas. And I have my cohorts, Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser, zooming in tonight. We've got a COVID-friendly studio tonight. How are you, boys? Hey, boys.
If I was any better, it would hurt.
I am better and it hurts.
Yes. Yeah, hang on a minute. We've got an issue going on here. Hold the show. Hold everything, John. What's going on with the Met?
Well, as all good stories begin, Circuit of the Americas, you know, everybody's premier. It's fun to sneak out. You know, grown up kids, you sneak out on golf courses, you pets around. Well, I kind of snuck out for a couple of hot laps on a motorcycle, and I forgot that they're repaving from turn 2 to 10.
Yeah. Well, I could have told you that. We told you that on the last show. You were not listening?
I'm sorry. Did you say something, Jonathan?
No, I'm muted. you went down a hole in turn 2. Now you know what it's like to feel like Mark Marquez then.
Yeah. I failed on the sprint back to the paddock, though.
Now you know you have to do the rest of the season like that because that's what Marquez would have done.
You mean each race? Each
you got to keep racing at 200 miles an hour, yeah.
Each weekend show, I have to do something silly and then go and
I'm sure the truth is not as exotic as that, John, so carry on.
We're going to stick with that.
Yeah, let the truth get in the way of a good story, Les. You stick with that with your sling around your shoulder and all that, and maybe we'll hear the real story one of these days. But, hey, I want to talk about what we got on the show tonight because we have another really exciting show considering we're in the off season because we've got some more clips from the folks over at EparTrade, and we have some clips from Ross Brawn from Formula One. We have some clips from Pat Simmons from Formula One. And we also, from that same event they had, the race week at the end of the year, we have a clip from Steve O'Donnell talking about NASCAR at COTA. So we got lots of good clips tonight. And we also have a young driver towards the end of the show, as we like to do. And we've got Aiden Kinney, who is going to join us towards the end of the hour. So we got a really fun show for you guys tonight. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. and stepping away from the NFL playoff situation, if that's the case for you. But you know what, Jonathan, why don't you talk about the people that we've got? You go way back talking about Ross Brawn, but let's introduce him first.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of Formula One at the moment is that the guys at the very top, and that is Ross Brawn and Pat Simmons, have been part of Formula One. As you know, John Todd has stepped down as the head of the FIA and has been replaced by Mohammed bin Salman just recently, after the season was over. And then below that, the head of sports or the head of motorsport is Ross Brawn. And interestingly enough, like John Todd, Ross Brawn was the key to running Ferrari in Schumacher's days. He also was the key to Jenson Button's world championship winning championship with Brawn Racing. Just for 1 year, they had that double diffuser and they whooped everybody. And so Ross Brawn has been an important figure in Formula One for a long time. But now he literally is the major runner of the sport, along with Pat Simmons. Pat Simmons, likewise, has had a storied history in Formula One himself with Benetton, with Williams and other teams. And he now is effectively the technical runner of Formula One. And we're going to hear from both of them tonight about the future and about how they've sort of got their feet under the table now as running the sport and helping.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because Ross Brawn, in particular, I don't know Pat Simmons as well, but every time that I have heard Ross Brawn speak, he is such an amazing guy to have in the sport still. I mean, we're kind of lucky to have him because, like you said, as he retired and really came back into the sport with F1. In fact, it was funny. One of the clips he said he really loves his new role. He wouldn't want the role that he had, like with that Toto and Christian Horner have. So, but let's get ready. Let's go ahead and play this first clip. This clip is talking about the 22 cost cap and will the cost cap keep teams from being innovative, as you guys say, Jonathan, innovative, because it's a big deal. You know, it's something we worry about, you know, is we want our F1 to be our F1. So let's hear from Ross Brawn.
Yeah, I think you go two routes, really. One is you go to standardized cars. If you want to control the cost, you go to standardized cars. And that's definitely not what we wanted. Or you try and constrain the resources which teams are allowed to use, but allow them within that constraint to do what they want within the regulations, of course. And we've chosen the latter because it means we'll have different cars on the grid. Cars will still have the identity of the teams. It's $145 million this year, which is still a huge amount of money. On top of that, their driver fees, that's not including the driver fees, and that's a debatable topic. That's a discussion we're having with the teams and the FIA at the moment, how what may happen with that in the future. On a like-for-like basis, I would say the top teams are probably getting on for twice that in the past. And it's still a budget which, let's say, a very good midfield team can aspire to with the prize money they get from Formula One and the sponsorship they can attract, then you know there's a lot of teams that will be able to reach that sort of level of expenditure and therefore we believe we'll have take a year or two to adjust, but we'll have many more frontline competitive teams in Formula One than we've had in the past.
Yeah, Jonathan, what do you think about the discussion that he's saying there? I mean, we want our innovation, though, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to explain that perhaps the difference between NASCAR, IndyCar, and Formula One is Formula One has always gone for a competitive approach to spending your money. So innovation is key. So that's why people like Adrian Newey and Ross Brawn in his day are almost aerophysicists and astronauts in their ability to solve problems and get over things and push money towards new and innovative ideas. That's not so much in Indy or NASCAR. That the idea is it's about keeping the parity, if you will. So there's a very competitive level of Formula One that has nothing to do with the drivers and the teams. It's all to do with the designers trying to get as much as they can. The problem with that is the more money you can throw at it, and then as Ross said, in the case of Ferrari and Mercedes, they're throwing $400 or $500 million at whatever problems they've got, and they're doing simulations and wind tunnel testing and all the rest of it. So they're on a NASA scope of preparation, whereas the smaller teams like America's Haas team are spending closer to that budget cap of about $140 million, probably less. So the idea being, if you cap it at a price that the minnows can get to, then maybe you can compete better with Mercedes. It sounds good in theory, but the bottom line is, and Dave O'Neill will confirm this when he's back on next time, is that they find ways around it. In other words, if it's R&D, they may do R&D 2 years ahead, which doesn't count for that budget. So it's an attempt to tighten up and make the field more competitive, and it's certainly a step in the right direction, so I'm glad they're doing it.
Hey, Les, I want to ask you, Les, about the how the driver salaries, amongst other things, but let's talk about driver salaries specifically, how those that money is outside the cap, like he said. What do you think about that?
I'm not too thrilled on it because it just means bigger budget, you get the better driver. Is that fair? Well, it happens every day in the rest of our lives. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I'm not sure how we would handle it or address it. I do feel that, you know, going back to the budget, is look at what happened during the pandemic. We all got these restrictions. We got these challenges. And look at what has happened. We've had so much advancement in what we're doing tonight with Zoom calls, the quality of them, everything about this technology. But that's because of a restriction. In F1's case, the Formula One money for the budget. And so the creativity is often what is a result of these restrictions, as opposed to just spending gobs of zillions of dollars to build the unobtainable product that somebody at the back of the grid can't get. So I kind of like that.
One analogy you could put is if it was NASCAR and you had an unlimited driver budget, you could go out and buy Alonso and Hamilton and be done with it, or Jimmy Johnson and Alonso. And say, right, you know, we're going to win everything. So that's why it's slightly unfair, because if they don't come into the budget cap, then, you know, the sky's the limit for the drivers. But frankly, if you haven't got a car for the driver, as we've seen in many cases, Alonso is a good example now, he's not going to win, even if he is the best driver out there.
All right, well, let's
to NASCAR, who's he driving for?
All right, let's move on to the next clip from Ross Braun. This one is talking about how F1 is involved in the cars, where they were more so than they used to be, and also interesting comments about the cost cap not falsifying competition. And remember, this clip was there were two races left when he said this, so interesting timing on that. Let's hear from Ross Braun again.
That's a good point. I think when Liberty acquired the commercial rights for Formula One, I'd been retired for 3 years, but it was the one thing that I felt could motivate me and was of interest to me, which was to look at how we shape Formula One for the future and how we create a structure that's constantly looking at the way Formula One's evolving and helping give it some direction. Because until then, the rules had quite frankly been fundamentally decided by the teams. And the competitors deciding the rules is not always the best solution. And the FIA at that point didn't have the resources to look at the problems directly. They had to take the information from the teams. So we set about building a team, and I'm glad you'll be talking to Pat because he headed that team. To look at the cars we had and try and decide how we could improve the quality of racing, both from the design of the car and the economic environment that the teams operate in, because there was a massive disparity in what a top team could spend compared to even, you know, a mid-range team. A year ago, 18 months ago, at this stage of the season, Red Bull or Mercedes could be pouring hundreds of millions into the championship to try and make sure they could win it. And they can't do that now. There's a cost cap, and they're constrained in how much they can spend. And so And, you know, we believe it will bring closer racing. It will bring economic stability to Formula One, closer competition throughout. So it's not a revolution, it's an evolution. But the things which, for once, there's been some resource put into this objective. And I'd like to say independent resource, because our objective is just to make the racing better. We make the racing better. We make it more engaging. We get more fans. It improves the commercial landscape for everybody, including ourselves. But we have to keep the integrity. We can't distort or falsify the competition. So the first time ever, the commercial rights holder has actually put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, prophetic a little bit, isn't it? But hey, guys, we got to get a break in real quick. Let's do that now. You're listening to Speed City Live from Austin, Texas, and we'll be back after these messages.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters. VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hey, this is Kurt Busch. You're listening to Speed City Radio.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Kurt Busch, for bringing us back. Nice little NASCAR reference by the producer there, because we've got these. First of all, let me talk about these clips. We're getting them from ePartrade. And if you don't know who ePartrade is, and this is on their YouTube page, all these interviews in full. They host this Race Industry Week online, and ePartrade, they provide training and products and services for the race industry. So you can check them out at ePartrade.com. But we just love the content and said, hey, can we use some of it? And they said, yes. So
yeah, in conjunction with Racer.com and Racer Magazine.
Yeah, so it's a really cool deal. So check those guys out. And by the way, I'm going to give you the phone number, but we're not going to open the phones up for a little bit. But it's 512-643-5483. 512-643-5483 if anybody wants to call in. We are monitoring YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, usually. For sure, YouTube and Facebook, if you guys are watching on there. So, but yeah, we've got a Kurt Busch brought us back because we have a clip from Steve O'Donnell from NASCAR, who talks about one of the executives at NASCAR, and he's talking about how NASCAR's their topics and goals for 21, how COTA was included on that. So let's go ahead and hear from Steve O'Donnell from NASCAR.
We also learned that, from a NASCAR scheduling standpoint, we didn't want to go somewhere and be one and done. It was important for us to, know we're going to go into a market, learn some things, and then how do we improve upon that? So you looked at COTA, Formula One, as you've said, we wanted to make sure we didn't go in there and embarrass ourselves in terms of, okay, what's NASCAR going to do here? How's this going to work? But when you look at our road course product really over the last few years, it's been terrific. And once again, our drivers continue to prove that week in and week out. The weather certainly caught us. We have said we're now going to race in the rain. I think we had some critics, rightly so, in terms of how far that went. Definitely learned some things from that we can apply when we go back to COTA. Hopefully we've got great sunny weather because the fan base was unbelievable there. The town, a great place to go racing. And I think everybody to a person in the industry thought, hey, this is awesome for the sport.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, I actually think when I look back at 2021, that NASCAR event at COTA was probably the most underrated story of the year. And what I mean by that was 80,000 people showed up. It poured with rain. There were some heavy crashes, and NASCAR's not used to racing in the rain, although, of course, that it's entirely possible, especially at a road course. And Steve Phelps, if you like, audacity to come and race at a Formula One track and take NASCAR to new venues and new audiences, really, really impressive. And I think it is going to work for many years to come. And more importantly, it's changing the face of NASCAR, because now NASCAR is getting more road race courses. And that's also attracting young drivers. And I know this from being in Trans Am, who want to do Trans Am to learn the road courses and be good at road course racing so that they can get into NASCAR.
Oh, that's good. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. It's really something else, the way that's kind of cross-pollinating there. And it's creating, I mean, to me, it's raising both of the sports or genres, if you will, up on that. And I was talking with our guest earlier about some of the different events, the different racing genre, and how they have changed what some driver's future looks towards. And so we'll have some interesting comments on that later. Mm.
All right. Well, Jonathan, I want you to talk about the next clips, because this is Pat Simmons, and you chose these. Let us once you introduce the first one, which is the F1 business structure, and talk about Pat himself a little bit more.
Yeah, I think what we're taking the lid off tonight is how Formula One now works under the new management of Liberty Media, based in Denver, Colorado. And of course, Formula One is now American owned. But both Ross Brawn and Pat Simmons come from a different era. They were both team managers. Pat Simmons at Williams and Benetton, Ross Brawn at Brawn and Ferrari, and at other teams too. But they've been around Formula One for the last 30 years. So what they Bernie tended to run it more like a pyramid, like he was in charge, and he dealt with the FIA and basically ran the sport himself. Whereas Liberty are running the sport, which involves all the commercial rights and selling it and so on, but also helping put in this cap more recently. And in between both of those, Ross Brawn, as the head of motorsport, has put himself, or Liberty put him, and Pat Simmons to effectively run the day-to-day running of the sport, which is very different than Bernie. So here in this clip, Pat Simmons explains how that system, the new system, works.
I guess it depends what you mean by owned.
Exactly.
Liberty Media own the commercial rights to Formula One. So what does my company do? We put on the show. We negotiate with the promoters. We negotiate with the circuits. We negotiate with the sort of major sponsors. We bring the teams together. We work with the FIA, who are the regulator, to ensure, you know, that we are the budget cap, for example, originated within our organization. But as I said, we can't write rules. That would be against sort of competition practice. So the FIA regulate things. We pay the FIA to perform that regulatory function. But we actually, I guess, yeah, run the show. One hopes makes the profit as well.
What's different about that, John, is in years gone by, effectively, as we heard from Ross earlier, the teams would push for the rules and lobby FIA, or the FIA, the governing body of both, of all of motorsport or all of four-wheel motorsport, to get certain rules changed and so on. So now you have a group of people looking at constructive and hopefully innovative ways to make it both more interesting for the fan, but also more lucrative with the cost cap. As we mentioned last week, if you've got a situation where you know what you're going to earn from the end of the year and you know how much you can potentially spend, then ROI, the chance for to get return on your investor, and that's happening more and more now with the new look of Formula One, with Williams, McLaren, Aston Martin. So now everybody's got a much clearer idea of what they can and can't earn and how to spend that money.
Mm. Jonathan, you of all people been in just about every paddock and every site around the world. How will that community or that committee's loyalty to their former teams play a part in their decision making? Do you think that's going to taint things, or do you think it's going to be looked at generically across the paddock as they go to decide about making a rule change?
It's a good point, Les, but I really don't think it were. They're two very respected men. And I think Liberty took more time to, if you like, get their feet under the table, given that they were Americans and it's far from an American sport, let's face it. Or thankfully, though, it is turning that way. But certainly in 2017, it was a wholly European product. I actually don't think their former roles in the sport, they've got so much respect that I think the Zak Browns, who'd never run a team before he joined McLaren, and Capito at Williams, and to a certain extent, Gunter Steiner and Gene Haas at Haas would follow these men because they're that's what they're there for. They don't, you know, they came out of retirement effectively to take these jobs. And certainly in the case of Ross Brawn, I actually think that he's at a time in his career where he's there for the right reasons. It's a bit like when Adrian Newey hangs it up that he became the technical director for Formula One. And I don't think anybody in the sport would say, you know, so it's a bit like getting, I don't know, Roger Staubach and Jimmy Johnson to be at the top, because you know that those are two respected people.
Is that an option?
Yeah, could be.
I'll take Roger Staubach anywhere, anytime for anything. So
yeah, can we get him back?
All right, let's play one more clip. And Jonathan, I'm just going to do this one because we're running short on time. This one is the simple one. It's Pat Simmons, the same guy, talking about F1 being road relevant to like road cars.
Technology to production cars.
Yeah, I saw that question come up, and perhaps I should explain that I'm Formula One, not the FIA. Now, we work very closely together, but Formula One is the commercial rights holder. FIA is the regulator. And in the past, never the twain shall meet. We're trying to bring it closer together. But, you know, you need to be careful. It would be wrong for the commercial rights holder to be doing too much regulation. But do we need to be road relevant, I think, is really what we're talking about. And the answer is, I think we do. I prefer to call it society relevant because I think that there are so many aspects of what we do in Formula One that have knock-ons way beyond the sort of automotive industry. I mean, I think everyone knows the favourite story of how Williams Formula One team, or the offshoot from Williams Formula One team, developed a new type of shells for supermarket fridges that saved a huge amount of energy by applying the sort of aerodynamic knowledge that they gained in Formula One. So we do need to be society relevant. And of course, I hope at some point we're going to talk about sustainability, Chris, because that's, you know, our big push at the moment. It becomes difficult as the sort of light mobility sector moves more and more to electrification. The power densities that they're dealing with are just not suitable for, you know, a big racing car like a Formula One car, an Indy car, or anything like that. But there's still an awful lot that we can contribute. And, you know, the electric machines on a Formula One car, the battery technology, the power electronics, they are all absolutely state of the art. We have C ratings on our batteries, which is effectively, if you like, it's a way of thinking how fast you can charge a battery, that are way beyond anything on a road car. And a few years ago, I think we were all questioning how relevant is that. But of course, now everyone's saying, well, yes, we are worried about range, but we're actually more worried about charging the batteries quickly. So a lot of the technology we've developed, silicon carbide in the power electronics, some of the battery technology, certainly the battery management, we're really pushing towards the ability to charge very fast. So lots of things like that are relevant, and they must remain so.
I agree with that. I think they need to remain relevant, and I will totally agree with that. Well, guys, let's go ahead and take our quick break, and we come back. We have a couple more clips, but also, if anybody wants to call in, 512-643-5483, and we'll watch comments on Facebook and YouTube. And we got some other topics we want to talk about other than these clips tonight. You're listening to Speed City, back after a quick break. All right! Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstadt beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadt, beer.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
From BBC F1, you are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We've got a couple more clips that we want to get in, but I definitely want to talk about some of the topics. Jonathan, you have done a fantastic job with all this homework. You've got so many topics in here. But
my editing was rubbish. Which is it?
Oh, that's funny.
No, no, no.
Your accent.
Jonathan, I want to talk about this article you spotted on motorsport.com. Can America's top talents still reach F1? I was like, those guys were singing our tune, because I don't know if you're new to watching or listening to us. That's what we've been talking about for years. But what made you put that in here, Jonathan, besides the obvious?
Obviously, it is of our interest to find out. We're very close. We've got 20-year-old Logan Sargeant now signed up for the Williams Academy. So, yes, we're on the cusp. We've had Rossi. He did a few races, obviously, and now is an IndyCar driver. And we got very close, very, very close, 48 hours we now hear, as you heard in the last week's show, to get Colton Herta, who is without doubt the biggest star in American racing currently and is also of an age where he could make it. But the story that this really resounds around is Jeremy Shaw, good friend to the show, and I think we should get Jeremy on. Jeremy, a fellow Brit like myself, so tough luck, we're here to stay. But Jeremy's been running young Americans to the festival, the Brands Hatch Formula Ford Festival, and the likes of Connor Daly, Joseph Newgarden have all won that festival, and we won it again. The Americans won it again this year, and Jeremy's saying that's all very well and good. But we're not making future Formula One stars. We're making IndyCar stars out of it because they're not known enough. And so, you know, we've just recently had a situation where had Michael Andretti bought the Alfa Romeo team, we would have had a young Colton Herta with some $30 million behind him per year from Gamebridge in Formula One. And I believe he would have been very successful. Instead, we get the dollars of $30 million from China. And China get their first Formula One star in the Alfa Romeo. And Andretti, the deal fell through with 48 hours to go. So the point is there is talent, but I kind of agree with Jeremy. Unless that talent, like Alexander Rossi and like Logan Sargeant, is currently racing through the ladder in Europe, they won't be noticed. And the Formula Ford Festival does its bit. But if they come back here or they don't stay in Europe, we're not going to get what we really want, which is, what, three or four drivers racing in Europe, of which now there are, including the Fittipaldis and the, you know, Cameron Dasses of the world and obviously Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need, obviously. We need these guys to be in that European ladder. And, you know, they need to be on the radar of all the teams. It would have been great if Michael had done that. And let's not forget, if you've been watching and listening to us, Michael's not done with that effort. He is going to try to figure that out. So, but yeah, we need those guys, those Americans on that ladder for sure.
You know, one of the things that I see more and more as I'm meeting these young up and comers out at COTA when they come in, and that's one thing I was talking to somebody the other day. Why don't I know about all these things coming to COTA? And I said, well, you know, there's private events, there's private track sessions, there's all these different things going on. And, you know, Speed City guys, we get the opportunity to go visit sometimes out there when the gates are otherwise closed. And I'm seeing more and more of these young drivers who aren't looking at Formula One. As much as the three amigos here want to see Americans in Formula One with all the rest of the country, there's a lot of other seats besides those 20 some odd seats. And the value of coming up, you know, odds are you're going to wind up somewhere else.
And yeah, so and it's good. It is a big culture change. There's no question. I mean, the closest we came with Pato O'Ward, very close. He looks as though he's going to do some Friday drives. But Pato O'Ward was on that path, if you will. So was Conor Daly, GP2, Rossi, as we know. So we've come close in a few occasions, and that's why the Logan Sargeant story is good, because he is well-backed. He is going through that ladder. But even for he, it almost fizzled out last year when he didn't get an F2 drive and did a third season of Formula 3, then gets picked up by Capito at Williams and is now in the Williams Academy and looks as though he's going to get plenty of Formula 1 exposure on a simulator and on some Friday drives.
Mm. I got a story here that's funny. All three of us put it in the show doc independently. And Les, I guess you look the most like him. What's this story about Brad Pitt?
Oh, thanks, I think.
One for the ladies, Les.
Oh, yeah. So Brad Pitt's in on a new movie coming up. It's Formula One based. Not a great deal of detail, but I think they were obviously marketing to the women when they said Brad Pitt. And so, should be really interesting to see what comes up with it. There's a few other names that you'll recognize as you go through it. Hopefully we'll see that within the next year or so.
Hey, I hope this happens just because it would be, you know, just more visibility for the sport for sure. And look, and it's Apple Studios. Is that it, Jonathan? I think you,
that's it. It's an Apple product. So it'll be on Apple Plus. And so that's why I think it will get the same sort of notoriety as the Netflix. Brad Pitt is well known as a big motor racing fan. He's done quite a few ventures into watching races and taking part in things. So, yeah, a bit like back in the day, Steve McQueen and Paul Newman. I mean, we're talking about actors that really can galvanize people to watch something they wouldn't normally watch. And we've booked him for next week's show, and we are giving away a ticket to any young lady who wants to come into the studio and be a guest.
Sorry, Jonathan. I got Bob Pitt. It's his overweight brother. I've got him. I couldn't get Brad.
Okay.
So we'll see about
sorry,
that.
Girls. Sorry.
I have one more clip I want to play.
Jonathan.
I have one more clip I want to play from Ross Brawn, because Pat Simmons talked about this in his clip a few minutes ago, talking about how the sustainability is such a big goal of Formula One, and they have a huge task ahead of them trying to help formulate a sustainable fuel that can run in regular road car, their existing 2 billion road cars that are out there now. And this is Ross Brawn talking about that.
We all know this massive environmental challenge we're all facing. And, you know, I know from my experience in Formula One, if you set the 10 teams a challenge and make it competitive challenge. So what we're discussing is sustainable fuels. So in 2026 at the latest, and maybe even earlier, you will have to race with a sustainable fuel. In other words, a net carbon zero fuel. So the way that fuel's made, is produced, has to be net carbon zero. And this will be a plug-in fuel that you would be able to put into a road car. We believe that Formula One can set an example of how a sustainable fuel can be created and used. And that's the big thing we're working on now. So sustainability and the assistance and solutions we can find for the environmental challenge is the next phase of Formula One. And that's but that's actually why we're seeing manufacturers take a much stronger interest in the sport, because they can see the value of that involvement. And it's no secret to say Volkswagen with Porsche and Audi are having a very close look at Formula One, and that's one of the reasons why they're interested. And I think there'll be more. So that's our next. So there's no rest for the wicked, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. I know you're chomping up a bit, Jonathan. That's that last part. Yes, I would love for them to, I'd love for them to make sustainable fuels for road cars. It'd be great. It's a, I don't, you know, the engineers and chemists and whatever are struggling with that. But that part about VW and Porsche, and obviously we know why VW is involved, wants to be involved because of their Dieselgate. But what were you going to say, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, there's two things. One, Formula E has proven that the manufacturers vote with their feet. You know, the last 20 years, or sorry, the last 10 years has all been about electric for every manufacturer out there, which is why the Formula E championship, the electric championship, took off. And it was backed by the likes of BMW, Mercedes, you know, and Porsche. So I think an Audi. So the point is, you can't run a combustion series today, in this day and age, without trying to be sustainable. For example, COTA has the only sustainability officer currently, and that was a real wild step. But I think, you know, this goes back to the F1 to roading to production cars, which is, if F1 can develop sustainable synthetic fuels which are less carbon, potentially hydrogen, or at least less carbon emission, and also they have set a goal of 2030 as being carbon neutral, which is again a weighty thing for a company that rides around the world for 23 countries with about 600 people in tow, and then races over 3 days. It's going to be a hard task, but they've got to be seen to be doing it. Otherwise, people will, the next generation of people would be absolutely aghast when the whole world is trying to save the planet and Formula One is just running around with combustion engines, not caring. It's literally the whole soul of Formula One in the future. They have to address it. Tobacco is gone. Good. Now let's get sustainable.
Absolutely. We've got a comment in from Facebook. And Kevin Kelly says the same. Can't get rid of the internal combustion engine. Agreeable. Adrian Newey, you know, went out to the Extreme E race and was looking at several things around that. But he's also one of the ones raising the idea of a hydrogen combustion engine in Formula One. So it's on the path. With a name like that, you know, the probability is pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big deal. I'm not going to put it past Formula One to be able to make this happen.
But John, if we had hydrogen cars, would I have to do would I have to suck hydrogen and do the commentary? Hi.
That's helium. That's helium.
Oh, helium. Sorry. I don't know me chemicals.
You're confusing hydrogen and helium.
I've never sucked hydrogen. What's that taste like?
I don't know. You got me there. All right, on that note, we're going to take a break, because when we come back, we have a young race driver that's going to join us. Very excited to have a young driver on the show, and we'll be back.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Alstott Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I'm not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why? What makes it so special? The water and the recipe?
Well, yeah. I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Alstott beer, fantastic. And most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com. Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hello, I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We've got a couple more clips that we want to get in, but I definitely want to talk about some of the topics. Jonathan, you have done a fantastic job with all this homework. You've got so many topics in here, but
my editing was rubbish. Which is it?
Oh, that's funny.
Nerd alert!
What was your accent?
Jonathan, I want to talk about this article you spotted on motorsport.com. Can America's top talents still reach F1? I was like, those guys were singing our tune, because I don't know if you're new to watching or listening to us. That's what we've been talking about for years. But what made you put that in here, Jonathan, besides the obvious?
Obviously, it is of our interest to find out. We're very close. We've got 20-year-old Logan Sargeant now signed up for the Williams Academy. So, yes, we're on the cusp. We've had Rossi. He did a few races, obviously, and now is an IndyCar driver. And we got very close, very, very close, 48 hours we now hear, as you heard in the last week's show, to get Colton Herta, who is without doubt the biggest star in American racing currently, and is also of an age where he could make it. But the story that this really resounds around is Jeremy Shaw, good friend to the show. And I think we should get Jeremy on. Jeremy, a fellow Brit like myself, so tough luck. We're here to stay. but Jeremy's been running young Americans to the festival, the Brands Hatch Formula Ford Festival. And the likes of Connor Daly, Joseph Newgarden, have all won that festival. And we won it again. The Americans won it again this year. And Jeremy's saying that that's all very well and good, but we're not making future Formula One stars. We're making IndyCar stars out of it because they're not known enough. And so, you know, we've just recently had a situation where had Michael Andretti bought the Alfa Romeo team, we would have had a young Colton Herta with some 30 million behind him per year from Gamebridge in Formula One. And I believe he would have been very successful. Instead, we get the dollars of 30 million from China, and China get their first Formula One star in the Alfa Romeo. And Andretti, you know, the deal fell through with 48 hours to go. So the point is there is talent, but I kind of agree with Jeremy. Unless that talent, like Alexander Rossi and like Logan Sargeant, is currently racing through the ladder in Europe, they won't be noticed. And the Formula Ford Festival does its bit, but if they come back here or they don't stay in Europe, we're not going to get what we really want, which is, what, three or four drivers racing in Europe, of which now there are, including the Fittipaldis and the, you know, Cameron Dasses of the world, and obviously Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need, obviously. We need these guys to be in that European ladder. And, you know, they need to be on the radar of all the teams. It would have been great if Michael had done that. And let's not forget, if you've been watching and listening to us, Michael's not done with that effort. He is going to try to figure that out. So, but yeah, we need those guys, those Americans on that ladder for sure.
You know, one of the things that I see more and more as I'm meeting these young up and comers out at COTA when they come in. And that's one thing I was talking to somebody the other day. Why don't I know about all these things coming to COTA? And I said, well, you know, there's private events, there's private track sessions, there's all these different things going on. And, you know, Speed City guys, we get the opportunity to go visit sometimes out there when the gates are otherwise closed. And I'm seeing more and more of these young drivers who aren't looking at Formula One as much as the three amigos here want to see Americans in Formula One with all the rest of the country. There's a lot of other seats besides those 20 some odd seats, and the value of coming up, you know, odds are you're going to wind up somewhere else.
And yeah. So and it's good. It is a big culture change. There's no question. I mean, the closest we came with Pato O'Ward very close. He looks as though he's going to do some Friday drives. But Pato O'Ward was on that path, if you will. So was Connor Daly, GP2, Rossi, as we know. So we've come close in a few occasions, and that's why the Logan Sargeant story is good, because he is well-backed. He is going through that ladder. But even for he, it almost fizzled out last year when he didn't get an F2 drive and did a third season of Formula 3, then gets picked up by Capito at Williams and is now in the Williams Academy and looks as though he's going to get plenty of Formula One exposure on a simulator and on some Friday drives.
I got a story here that's funny. All three of us put it in the show doc independently, and Les, I guess you look the most like him. What's this story about Brad Pitt?
I think
one for the ladies, Les.
So Brad Pitt's in on a new movie coming up. It's Formula One based. Not a great deal of detail, but I think they were obviously marketing to the women when they said Brad Pitt. And so should be really interesting to see what comes up with it. There's a few other names that you'll recognize as you go through it. Hopefully we'll see that within the next year or so.
Hey, I hope this happens, just because it would be, you know, just more visibility for the sport for sure. And look, and it's Apple Studios. Is that it, Jonathan? I think you.
It's an Apple product, so it'll be on Apple Plus, and so that's why I think it will get the same sort of notoriety as the Netflix. Brad Pitt is well known as a big motor racing fan. He's done quite a few ventures into watching races and taking part in things. So, yeah, a bit like back in the day, Steve McQueen and Paul Newman. I mean, we're talking about actors that really can galvanize people to watch something they wouldn't normally watch. And we've booked him for next week's show, and we are giving away a ticket to any young lady who wants to come into the studio and be a guest.
Sorry, Jonathan. I got Bob Pitt. It's his overweight brother. I've got him. I couldn't get Brad.
Okay.
So we'll see about
Sorry, girls. Sorry.
I have one more clip I want to play.
Jonathan.
I have one more clip I want to play from Ross Braun, because Pat Simmons talked about this in his clip a few minutes ago, talking about how the sustainability is such a big goal of Formula One, and they have a huge task ahead of them trying to help formulate a sustainable fuel that can run in regular road car, their existing 2 billion road cars that are out there now. And this is Ross Braun talking about that.
We all know this massive environmental challenge we're all facing. And, you know, I know from my experience in Formula One, if you set the 10 teams a challenge and make it competitive challenge. So what we're discussing is sustainable fuels. So in 2026 at the latest, and maybe even earlier, you will have to race with a sustainable fuel. In other words, a net carbon zero fuel. So the way that fuel's made, is produced, has to be net carbon zero. And this will be a plug-in fuel that you would be able to put into a road car. We believe that Formula One can set an example of how a sustainable fuel can be created and used. And that's the big thing we're working on now. So sustainability and the assistance and solutions we can find for the environmental challenge is the next phase of Formula One. And that's but that's actually why we're seeing manufacturers take a much stronger interest in the sport, because they can see the value of that involvement. And it's no secret to say Volkswagen with Porsche and Audi are having a very close look at Formula One, and that's one of the reasons why they're interested. And I think there'll be more. So that's our next. So there's no rest for the wicked, I'm afraid.
I know you're chomping at the bit, Jonathan. That's that last part. Yes, I would love for them to, I'd love for them to make sustainable fuels for road cars. It'd be great. It's a, I don't, you know, the engineers and chemists and whatever are struggling with that. But that part about VW and Porsche, and obviously we know why VW's involved, wants to be involved because of their Dieselgate. But what were you going to say, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, there's two things. One, Formula E has proven that the manufacturers vote with their feet. You know, the last 20 years, or sorry, the last 10 years has all been about electric for every manufacturer out there, which is why the Formula E championship, the electric championship, took off. And it was backed by the likes of BMW, Mercedes, you know, and Porsche. So I think an Audi. So the point is, you can't run a combustion series today, in this day and age, without trying to be sustainable. For example, COTA has the only sustainability officer currently, and that was a real wild step. But I think, you know, this goes back to the F1 to roading to production cars, which is, if F1 can develop sustainable synthetic fuels which are less carbon, potentially hydrogen, or at least more less carbon emission, and also they have set a goal of 2030 as being carbon neutral, which is again a weighty thing for a company that rides around the world for 23 countries with about 600 people in tow, and then races over 3 days. It's going to be a hard task, but they've got to be seen to be doing it. Otherwise, people will, the next generation of people would be absolutely aghast when the whole world is trying to save the planet and Formula One is just running around with combustion engines, not caring. It's literally the whole soul of Formula One in the future. They have to address it. Tobacco is gone. Good. Now let's get sustainable.
Absolutely. We've got a comment in from Facebook. And Kevin Kelly says the same. Can't get rid of the internal combustion engine. Agreeable. Adrian Newey, you know, went out to the Extreme E race and was looking at several things around that. But he's also one of the ones raising the idea of a hydrogen combustion engine in Formula One. So it's on the path. With a name like that, you know, the probability is pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big deal. I'm not going to put it past Formula One to be able to make this happen.
But John, if we had hydrogen cars, would I have to do would I have to suck hydrogen and do the commentary? Hi.
That's helium. That's helium.
Oh, helium. Sorry. I don't know me chemicals.
Confusing hydrogen and helium.
I've never sucked hydrogen. What's that taste like?
I don't know. I don't. You got me there.
All right, on that note, we're going to take a break because when we come back, we have a young race driver that's going to join us. Very excited to have a young driver on the show. And we'll be back after a quick break.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
When you leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog friendly with yard games and Craigo's Pizza and Wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery. Bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to bring on our young guest here in just one quick moment, but we got to talk just very quickly and just mention the fact that that Aston Martin announced that Ottmar, the American, is leaving the team. Ottmar Safar has left the company and his role at Aston Martin, and they're going to just manage it within, is what they're saying. Jonathan, what do you think of that?
Kind of inevitable when Lawrence Stroll took over the complete running of the team. Aston Martin have gone through unbelievable changes and are still going through unbelievable changes. And I think this is an effort. I mean, Ottmar was there for 12 years and when it was Force India and Racing Point and so on and so forth. So he's had a long run. And I just think that Lawrence wants to put his own stamp on his own team. And I think that's what will happen, is that they have enough people there to run the day-to-day, but they may well bring in what they would call a rock star team manager. Watch this space.
You know what? I saw this one coming, and you're going to say that I'm crazy, but when I watched the Netflix series, and I watched, Ottmar was in the boardroom, and he was talking, and then Lawrence Stroll walks into the room, and Ottmar was not good at handling him. You could see it in his eyes. I know that sounds crazy, and I'm kind of joking a little bit, but you know how you can just tell Lawrence Stroll is obviously an enormous figure. He's impending imposing physically and everything else. So besides being a billionaire, and I could just see it on Ottmar's face. I could see that he is not managing that relationship. I think that, Gunther handles his relationship with Gene better. So, all right, well, that's all of that. Les, I want you to introduce our young driver guest.
You bet. You know, it's talking about how much we're out at COTA, and we get to meet these teams that travel through COTA. Everybody wants on COTA at one time or another. And a lot of times it's younger drivers that I get to pick out and catch up with. And so we want to introduce you to Aidan Kenny. Aidan Kenny is with Wilt Wind Racing and has already got a great history, a great track record for such a short career. Aidan, welcome to Speed City.
Thank you for having me. Hope everyone's having a good evening so far.
Oh, yeah, doing good, doing good. Hey, so Aiden's based in Florida, and I'm going to say he was a little bit late to his career, but he's making up for it in fast time. Why don't you give us an intro of your early experiences, sports beyond racing, and then into the karting world.
Yeah, so when I was in middle school, so 6th, 7th grade, I started karting, which was in 2018. So from there, obviously, I had quite a late start compared to most of my competitors who had at least 5 years under their belt. So starting on the back foot was a little difficult for me, but I was able to catch up. I could stay mid-pack front pack sometimes. Ran a lot of national races until last year in 2020, where I stepped up to cars, racing in the WRL with W2W Mark Martin in a Porsche Cayman. So that's where I'm at now. So it's been a quite short journey compared to most of my competitors, but it's been pretty successful thus far.
Really has. That was one of those things that, like I said, we push and we talk to these drivers, you know, Alexander Rossi and so many of these others that we knew before everybody else knew their name. And they started off much younger than you did. So it's quite an acceleration that you have there getting to where you are. Jonathan, you've seen a lot of drivers like Aiden. What do you got to say about this short ramp to the success?
I like it. I'm fascinated to learn from you, Aiden, is, you know, you've taken a really bold step from karting. Most people would give F4 or, you know, the Road to Indy or some sort of continuation of sort of single seaters before heading to the heady heights of racing a Porsche. Why did you choose that and how did that come about? Because that is a massive step. Most people are in their 30s by the time they get to drive, you know, in a sports car.
Yeah, so Formula Cars was definitely on the radar, but we got the opportunity to get a testing program with Mark Martin through Go Motorsport Management, and they were able to connect us. And so we did a testing program with them in 2020. I went to a couple of the races before I even started driving the cars just to see if I even wanted to go to the GT racing. And I really liked it. I liked the atmosphere of just everyone at the track. So we went into GT racing with them, found pretty good success. We just won the 24 Hours Sebring, the first ever 24 hour there, in October. And then we just got the WRL National Championship for 2021 in the GTL class. So it was definitely a very successful year for me.
And you're 16. Where do you want to be in 20 years now? Where do you want to be? What's the path then? What do you want to do?
So I want to either make it to IMSA or just have a steady factory job. So with Porsche, Lamborghini, any of those types of cars, just so that I can have a steady career, but still be able to do what I love.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you mentioned Go Motorsport. You've got some prime talent over there as well. Dave O'Neill comes to mind. We have Dave as one of our Formula One consultants as well. What do they put you through in coaching? Being they don't necessarily have a long list in your career yet to develop. They're developing it themselves.
Yeah. So my main coach is Cameron Lawrence. He's doing a great job. It's great working with him. I've gotten really close with him over the past year. I had no prior knowledge to anything GT related. Obviously, I had the sim, but it's very different to real life. So Cameron was very helpful with, just teaching me everything about the cars that I needed to know to be successful.
So gotta ask, you've been to several tracks now. How does COTA compare to those at your racing level?
COTA is definitely a track I like. It's I got into motorsport by going to the 2017 F1 Grand Prix. So that was my first taste of motorsport. And so the next year I got into karting and moved up. But going back to COTA this year after learning everything about motorsport, everything sprouting from there, it was definitely an experience. So I really like the track. It's very professional. Obviously, it's FIA grade A. So, it's a wonderful track to drive and experience.
So when we were texting earlier, you were doing some testing. Tell us what you got going on this week.
Yeah, so I actually just got back from Sebring. Have testing in the 718 Cayman with W2W. This year we're running in the Porsche Sprint Challenge in the silver class. So we're just getting some testing lined up. Just got back from Sebring, going to COTA in February to prepare for the first race in March in Sebring.
So, Aiden, you said that you went to the 2017 F1 USGP. Was that was the spark for motorsports, and or were you already interested before that?
No, that was the spark. That's what got me going. We were in the paddock club with all the simulators, and I could not leave the simulators at all. I was there for the whole weekend. Other than the race, if you couldn't find me, I was at the simulators.
That's great.
All right, so you're 16 now, so I'm assuming you have a road car driver's license?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's funny. I asked that question. You'd be amazed about, especially if they're not 16, the young drivers, we ask them, they're like, no, I don't have a license. I haven't really thought about it yet. But the question I'm going to ask you is, we've asked every major every driver that we've ever had on the show, what kind of car they drive every day. And the answers have been from incredibly boring to incredibly exciting. So what do you drive every day?
I drive a BMW 330i.
Oh, there you go. Now, what transmission?
It's automatic.
That's cheating.
Yeah, no, still got points for BMW.
That's not the ultimate driving experience. You got to put some gears in there.
3 Series is a good one.
Did you hear what he said, though? He was almost just like, automatic.
Yeah, he said it with disgruntlement. Yeah.
That's right.
I knew exactly where you were going with that.
What he's doing a couple more times, and Mark Martin will get him in a Porsche.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way, Cameron Lawrence is a great driver. He races. I did a commentary for Trans Am, and yeah, Cameron Lawrence, what a mentor to have. Great guy.
Aiden, we're out of time, but we want to make sure you can tell people how to find you if you got social media, Instagram, or whatever.
So my Instagram is AidenKenny_racing. Facebook is Aiden Kenny, and that should be it.
All right. Well,
we'll look out for you.
Yeah,
good luck this season.
Aiden, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
We really
Thank
appreciate
you having
you.
Me.
Yeah, we appreciate you it. Bet. And good luck on the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, we've just got a little bit of time left. I want to first thank everybody for tuning in on Facebook and YouTube and everything. And we just started trying to grow our YouTube and all that. So give us a like if you like what we're doing. Give us a like and make sure you set the notifications and all that stuff. And we click the bell, as they say. Click the bell.
And by the way, you know, people like Aiden Kenny, I love having those guys on because these are the guys that become the next Joseph Newgarden. And, you know, for fans of the sport, and I love the fact that we're able to do this. We've been doing it since we started. And if you think about now, some of the guys we had on right at the start, and, you know, I'm now thinking about Enzo and Pietro Fittipaldi, who are still relative unknowns. And Aiden, obviously, is just making some names for himself in the last year. But he's just 16. So watch this space.
Yeah, no doubt. That's cool. All right. Also, we're out of time, but check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And we, in addition to YouTube and Facebook, we are very active on Twitter. We're still working on Instagram, not there yet. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to all of our guests. And a big thanks to the guys at ePartrade, because that's where all those clips are coming from. And go look them up on YouTube if you want to hear more and more about. I mean, these things are like an hour long with each one of these guests. So it's really good. So it's called The Race Week by ePartrade. And go check that out. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
When you leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog friendly with yard games and Craigo's Pizza and Wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to bring on our young guest here in just one quick moment, but we got to talk just very quickly and just mention the fact that that Aston Martin announced that Ottmar, the American, is leaving the team. Ottmar Safarz has left the company and his role at Aston Martin, and they're going to just manage it within, is what they're saying. Jonathan, what do you think of that?
Kind of inevitable when Lawrence Stroll took over the complete running of the team. Aston Martin have gone through unbelievable changes and are still going through unbelievable changes. And I think this is an effort. I mean, Ottmar was there for 12 years, and when it was Force India and Racing Point and so on and so forth. So he's had a long run, and I just think that Lawrence wants to put his own stamp on his own team. And I think that's what will happen, is that they have enough people there to run the day-to-day, but they may well bring in what they would call a rock star team manager. Watch this space.
You know what? I saw this one coming, and you're going to say that I'm crazy, but when I watched the Netflix series, and I watched, Ottmar was in the boardroom, and he was talking, and then Lawrence Stroll walks into the room, and Ottmar was not good at handling him. You could see it in his eyes. I know that sounds crazy, and I'm kind of joking a little bit, but you know how you can just tell he, you, I mean, Lawrence Stroll is obviously an enormous figure. He's impending, physically imposing, imposing physically and everything else. So besides being a billionaire, and I could just see it on Ottmeyer's face. I could see that he is not managing that relationship. Like, well, to be honest, I think that, that Gunther handles his relationship with Gene better. So, all right, well, that's all of that. Les, I want you to introduce our young driver guest.
You bet. You know, it's talking about how much we're out at COTA, and we get to meet these teams that travel through COTA. Everybody wants on COTA at one time or another. And a lot of times it's younger drivers that I get to pick out and catch up with. And so we want to introduce you to Aidan Kenny. Aidan Kenny is with Wilt Win Racing and has already got a great history, a great track record for such a short career. Aidan, welcome to Speed City.
Thank you for having me. Hope everyone's having a good evening so far.
Oh, yeah, doing good, doing good. Hey, so Aiden's based in Florida, and I'm going to say he was a little bit late to his career, but he's making up for it in fast time. Why don't you give us an intro of your early experiences, sports beyond racing, and then into the karting world.
Yeah, so when I was in middle school, so sixth, seventh grade, I started karting, which was in 2018. So from there, obviously, I had quite a late start compared to most of my competitors who had at least 5 years under their belt. So starting on the back foot was a little difficult for me, but I was able to catch up. I could stay mid-pack, front pack sometimes, ran a lot of national races until last year in 2020, where I stepped up to cars, racing in the WRL with W2W Mark Martin and a Porsche Cayman. So that's where I'm at now. So it's been a quite short journey compared to most of my competitors, but it's been pretty successful thus far.
Really has. That was one of those things that, like I said, we push and we talk to these drivers, you know, Alexander Rossi and so many of these others that we knew before everybody else knew their name. And they started off much younger than you did. So it's quite an acceleration that you have there getting to where you are. Jonathan, you've seen a lot of drivers like Aidan. What do you got to say about this short ramp to the success?
I like it. I mean, what I'm fascinated to learn from you, Aidan, is, you know, you've taken a really bold step from karting. Most people would give F4 or, you know, the Road to Indy or some sort of continuation of sort of single seaters before heading to the heady heights of racing a Porsche. Why did you choose that and how did that come about? Because that is a massive step. Most people are in their 30s by the time they get to drive, you know, in a sports car.
Yeah, so Formula Cars was definitely on the radar, but we got the opportunity to get a testing program with Mark Martin through Go Motorsport Management, and they were able to connect us. And so we did a testing program with them in 2020. I went to a couple of the races before I even started driving the cars just to see if I even wanted to go to the GT racing. And I really liked it. I liked the atmosphere of just everyone at the track. So we went into GT racing with them, found pretty good success. We just won the 24-hour Sebring, the first ever 24-hour there in October. And then we just got the WRL National Championship for 2021 in the GTL class. So it was definitely a very successful year for me.
You're 16. Where do you want to be in 20 years now? Where do you want to be? What's the path then? What do you want to do?
So I want to either make it to IMSA or just have a steady factory job. So with Porsche, Lamborghini, any of those types of cars, just so that I can have a steady career, but still be able to do what I love.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you mentioned Go Motorsport. You've got some prime talent over there as well. Dave O'Neill comes to mind. We have Dave as one of our Formula One consultants as well. What do they put you through in coaching? Being they don't necessarily have a long list in your career yet to develop. They're developing it themselves.
Yeah. So my main coach is Cameron Lawrence. He's doing a great job. I mean, it's great working with him. I've gotten really close with him over the past year. I had no prior knowledge to anything GT related. Obviously, I had the sim, but it's very different to real life. So Cameron was very helpful with, just teaching me everything about the cars that I needed to know to be successful.
So gotta ask, you've been to several tracks now. How does COTA compare to those at your racing level?
COTA is definitely a track I like. It's I got into motorsport by going to the 2017 F1 Grand Prix. So that was my first taste of motorsport. And so the next year I got into karting and moved up. But going back to COTA this year after learning everything about motorsport, everything sprouting from there, it was definitely an experience. So I really like the track. It's very professional. Obviously, it's FIA grade A. So, it's a wonderful track to drive and experience.
So, hey, so when we were texting earlier, you were doing some testing. Tell us what you got going on this week.
Yeah, so I actually just got back from Sebring. Testing in the 718 Cayman with W2W. This year we're running in the Porsche Sprint Challenge in the silver class. So we're just getting some testing lined up. Just got back from Sebring, going to COTA in February to prepare for the first race in March in Sebring.
So Aiden, you said that you went to the 2017 F1 USGP. Was that was the spark for motorsports, and or were you already interested before that?
No, that was the spark. That's what got me going. We were in the paddock club with all the simulators, and I could not leave the simulators at all. I was there for the whole weekend. Other than the race, if you couldn't find me, I was at the simulators.
That's great.
All right, so you're 16 now, so I'm assuming you have a road car driver's license?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's funny. I asked that question. You'd be amazed about, especially if they're not 16, the young drivers, we ask them, they're like, no, I don't have a license. I haven't really thought about it yet. And but the question I'm going to ask you is, we've asked every every driver that we've ever had on the show, what kind of car they drive every day. And the answers have been from incredibly boring to incredibly exciting. So what do you drive every day?
I drive a BMW 330i.
Oh, there you go. Now, what transmission?
It's automatic.
That's cheating.
Yeah. No, you still got points for BMW.
That's not the ultimate driving experience. You got to put some gears in there.
3 Series is a good one.
Did you hear what he said, though? He was almost just like, automatic.
Yeah, he said it with disgruntlement, yeah.
That's right.
Where you were going.
Do what he's doing a couple more times, and Mark Martin will get him in a Porsche.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way, Cameron Lawrence is a great driver. He races. I did a commentary for Trans Am, and yeah, Cameron Lawrence, what a mentor to have. Great guy.
Aiden, we're out of time. Well, we want to make sure you you can tell people how to find you if you got social media, Instagram, or whatever.
So my Instagram is AidenKenny_racing. Facebook is AidenKenny. And that should be it.
All right. Well,
we'll look out for you.
Yeah,
good luck this season.
Aiden, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
We really
Thank
appreciate you.
Having
you.
Me.
Yeah, we appreciate Thank it. And good luck on the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, we've just got a little bit of time left. I want to first thank everybody for tuning in on Facebook and YouTube and everything. And we just started trying to grow our YouTube and all that. So give us a like if you like what we're doing. Give us a like and make sure you set the notifications and all that stuff. And we click the bell, as they say. Click the bell.
And by the way, you know, people like Aiden Kenny, I love having those guys on because these are the guys that become the next Joseph Newgarden. And, you know, for fans of the sport, and I love the fact that we're able to do this. We've been doing it since we started. And if you think about now, some of the guys we had on right at the start, and, you know, I'm now thinking about Enzo and Pietro Fittipaldi, who are still relative unknowns. And Aiden, obviously, is just making some names for himself in the last year. But he's just 16. So watch this space.
Yeah, no doubt. That's cool. All right. Also, we're out of time, but check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And in addition to YouTube and Facebook, we are very active on Twitter.
We're still working on Instagram, not there yet. But thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks to all of our guests, and a big thanks to the guys at ePartrade, because that's where all those clips are coming from. And go look them up on YouTube if you want to hear more and more about. I mean, these things are like an hour long with each one of these guests, so it's really good. So it's called The Race Week by ePartrade, and go check that out. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trail.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.